Ah, here we go. Oh boy, there we go. Little sound effect. Still don't have my intro, but I'm coming along. The new studio is not at all what it was. It's interesting, but the new computer's badass, and so I'm learning a new program, so I can't do too much, and I haven't been able to get everything going. But here we are. It is Fat to Fit or Else. I am the Stretcheree, and I am also the man who sits here 15 pounds down in less than 4 weeks. Monday is my 4 weeks, and I'm at 15 pounds right now. Haven't lost any more, and I will tell you, tonight was the first time I even broke my diet, and I'm fine with the way I broke my diet tonight. I came home, I ate a very keto-friendly meal, and then I had, by breaking my diet, I have some sugar-free chocolate. It does have some carbs. It's still pretty low. It's really not that good, but it's a treat. And usually I'll eat 2 squares of it. I had about 8 or 10 squares of it tonight, and that was it. That's the worst thing I've done in this most recent weight loss journey of Fat to Fit or Else. So I'm cool with that. Been getting my steps in, doing a lot of walking. Walk my dog on Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and then I walk my big fat self when I am home at all. I have to go for a walk once I get done with this show, in fact, so I can keep my steps in. And I found a really cool exactly half hour walk, and if I walk a good brisk pace, it's a 30 minute little workout, and it's working good, so I'm cool with that. I was so desperate for something different because I'm literally just eating meat for dinner, and that's it. Occasionally meat with a little bit of keto bread or a keto tortilla, which is not delicious, but, and that gets to you after a while. So I've been doing that, and tonight I stopped on the way home because I deliberately said I am making pasta, and often I realized I don't have something again that burned up in the fire, but I was like, oh, I'll go get zucchini and I'll make my pasta. I had this thing before that you could shove a zucchini in and like twist it and they would turn it into like it was like a corkscrew would come out the other end and it looked just like pasta. And then I would put it in a bowl, boil it until the pasta got tender, and I could put sauce on it and fool myself and it was fine. And so I was going to do that, and then as soon as I put it in my cart, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have that little squirrely cutter that I used to have for my zucchinis. But instead I found a keto pasta on the aisle, and I don't remember the name brand, and it was angel hair pasta and linguine. I bought a pack of each. They were like $5.99 each, and the knock on these pastas is you don't get that soft tender. They've got like a snap to them, which is why the zucchini is fine, because when I make the zucchini pasta, it's not as soft as pasta either. It kind of has a little bit of a firmness to it, no matter how long you boil it. And that's what this reminded me of. But this had literally, I think, 5 grams of serving. Also had a ton of fiber. Fiber offsets that, so that's a good way to go. I have not came up with another challenge yet. I'm still basking in the glory of beating this one, but I will get one. I've got to get another challenge going, so we'll get one of those going. I have some stories to talk about. One of them being, I'm not kidding, if you guys don't know about Mounjaro is a diabetes medication, much like Ozempic is a diabetes medication, that has been amazing for fat loss. And I'm gonna tell you guys a good story and a bad story about semaglutides, which is what Mounjaro and Ozempic are. So on these lovely pills or shots, I'm sorry, you've got Mounjaro. They have now found at a cutting edge study that the medical name is called tirzepatide, which is the semaglutide there, has been hailed in this most recent study for a very impressive weight loss and for slashing the growth of obesity-linked breast tumors. So there you go. If you are fat and you have breast tumors from being fat. That's a thing that happens in overweight people. They're more at risk. The Mounjaro can shrink that tissue. Stuff. It's a miracle drug. It really is. Now, here's the other one. The bad one. Let's go. I gave you the good. Now I'm going to give you the bad. The semaglutide. And I've said this before. I don't. It's funny that this is a brand new study that just came out this week, or this article that I'm reading from. And it says semaglutide is a popular anti-obesity drug. Come with a hidden cost. Significant muscle loss, especially for women and older adults. And that's the primary audience taking it. I fall under the older adult category. I'm on the crap. And women who I call them lollipop heads. You can tell a Ozempic person a mile away. They have a skinny body, unless they're me. And then they have a big head because their head looks too big because their body has gotten so skinny. And the knock on this crap from the beginning is that 40% of weight loss from semaglutides come from lean body mass. So you could be like ground beef is what I like to call fat, skinny people. So you're shrinking, but it's your muscle that's shrinking. 40% of what's shrinking is your muscle, and then you'll have the fat there, but the muscle's gone. And then the real red flag on these things, super red flag that I can't preach enough about, is that once these you get off of them, if it's not something like, especially if you're buying the crap at full price because you don't have diabetes, well, guess what? You have now destroyed your metabolism. Your metabolism is toast, bro, because you don't have any muscle. Muscle is your metabolism. You need a big engine to fuel, and when you fuel it with, you know, food, good healthy food, and then when it's running low on food, it burns the excess fat in your body. That's your muscle build. That's why you have it. That's your metabolism right there. And when you don't have muscle and you are trying to do this, it's going to suck for you, dude. It is going to suck big fat donkey balls, because you are not going to be able to lose weight until you get that machine going again and get your muscle back up. And if you are elderly or a female, that's not easy to do. A dude's got testosterone. A dude in WNBA players have a lot of testosterone, and they can burn it, but you can't if you are just a normal person, especially a female who has no muscle mass whatsoever. That's why if you're going to do this, and I've told you, and this isn't in the study, but I know this, and I know this is for a fact. If you are going to do a semaglutide, be sure to lift weights twice a week. Just give me twice a week. And I'm not saying Arnold Schwarzenegger, but push some weight, some resistance exercise 2 days a week, and pound some protein. Whatever you're doing on your diet, switch it so that you up your protein. And that will help you dramatically to hold on to the muscle and burn the fat if you're on a semaglutide. Very, very important. And then here's a fun little ditty. If you have problems sleeping, sure, you could smoke weed or drink alcohol like a lot of people do, called self-medication. Or you could take over-the-counter sleeping pills, or even see your doctor and get some sleeping pills or some anti-anxiety, because typically what happens when you can't sleep is your brain's running crazy because you can't shut it off. Well, they say that Tai Chi, yoga, and jogging pretty much are on par with the same results as pills for getting sleep if you have insomnia. That's pretty good, improving your sleep. Tackling insomnia and various treatments, and there's cognitive behavioral therapy, but they say some of the best things you could do if you're having trouble sleeping is Tai Chi, yoga, and jogging. I would rather have insomnia than jog. I would try Tai Chi or yoga if I got desperate, but jogging, yeah, that would not. I'm not jogging. If I'm jogging, I'm ending up in the hospital having surgery on another broken part of my body that I have destroyed. Dead serious. Oh, God. What else? Oh, here's one. I put a quick little Instagram post up on that. Also, I don't know if you guys saw, but I had... If you don't know and you've not been a follower of the Stretch shows before in their old incarnations at the radio in Los Angeles or Sirius XM or even the Big 49, which I have brought back. I'm doing shows there on Friday afternoons now, just one show a week. I can tell you, you may not know of my love of the little people, but I love me the little people. And I did a post of five little people, women, wearing bikinis, all dancing in a choreographed dance routine. And I'm like, this made my day. It made me so happy. I posted it on Instagram. So that was up there yesterday. But I also posted one of a TV show that my son is in that came out on Wednesday of this week. It is a Amazon Prime show, and it's with Jensen Ackles. And I like Jensen a lot because I was a big fan of Supernatural, and Jensen was on that show. And my son has a fight with Jensen in that show. Spoiler alert. But he is in that show. It's a show. It's like a LAPD and the FBI team up, and they're chasing some, looks like, terrorist. And it's here in Los Angeles, and my son was in that most recent episode. So check that out. He's got the one he just got back from Canada on Sunday, and that one, it's cool, is it's an NBC hour-long drama, and he was the guest star of that week, and he is going to be in that one, I think, in September. That will be out, so I will tell you when that comes around. That's, September's not that far away. You know what else is not that far away, which is crazy? NFL. Preseason will start in the next 2 weeks. The preseason will start in the next 2 weeks. That's the greatest news I could ever say. And then September first week, the season starts. It is crazy. Football is back. And it's so weird because football, you always associate football with, you know, fall and cold weather. But boy, the first 2 months football season, which is now basically August and September, whew, that's some heat. And that's across the country, that's some heat. Then it starts cooling off in the east in September, but boy, hot, hot, hot until then. Hot and sticky. Sticky, icky, icky. I do not miss the East Coast. I lived there for a while. I loved living there. I'm sorry, I loved working there. I didn't necessarily love living there, because a lot of it was weather-related more than anything. Do I have any other stories to share with you guys? I don't know. I don't know if I do. I know I do. SB, Senate Bill 549, which I ranted about in the last episode, where Gavin Newsom and the fun-loving Democrats of California decided they needed to destroy the Pacific Palisades, and they were going to make it so they could use property tax revenue to buy lots of people that couldn't rebuild at a discounted rate, and then with no regulation or no rezoning or no neighborhood approval. Typically, if there's a big project being built in your neighborhood, there's town halls and there's community input. So they were trying to sneak around that and be able to put high-rise apartment buildings on a lot where a house used to be. So it'd be like at my house. I know my one neighbor sold his lot, my next door neighbor, and is moving. He was an older guy and older guys, and they already moved to Santa Barbara, and they're done. They're not rebuilding. They're old, and they're like, we don't have time or the energy to do this. So they took their party to Santa Barbara, and I think my other neighbor may or may not rebuild. But at this point, the city could have come in, took either one of those lots, any lot, as long as it's within 2 miles of a bus stop, and there's lots of bus stops in the Palisades, they could build low-income housing. Or, I'm sorry, they could build housing, apartment buildings, multi-unit buildings, high-rise, and 40% of them had to be for low-income. Now, I know that a lot of you, or if we're in California, a lot of you are Democrats, a lot of you are liberals, and you're like, that's good, and you rich snobs shouldn't have all the great neighborhoods to live in, and da da da. And then the proof that I live there shows you that not everyone in the Palisades is rich. I'm very middle class, and I've broke it down before how ethnically diverse my street was. It was way more than any other neighborhood I've ever lived in my entire life, and I'm not joking at the ethnic diversity of my neighborhood. And all the Palisades is like that because people were typically there, were successful, and had a business. Or the African-American lady that lived two doors down is a singer. She was like famous 80s band. She's retired now, but she was a singer. Then there, my other African-American neighbor down the street was like a big finance dude, and he's a baller and had a badass house. He's rich, but there's rich people on my street, not rich people on my street. But I wanted to tell you guys, if you are all for that, and that sounds like a good idea to you, how rich developers and landlords, if you will, are working that system. And this is true, and you can look this up. What will happen is the city, if let's say right now I owned a plot of land and I wanted to build an apartment building for an investment property, the city would come to me and they would pretty much stonewall it or not let me do it unless I added some low-income units in there. So everyone knows low-income means low-income to you. You're not getting money on those, but you'll charge full price in the other units, and you'll have your low-income units. So let's say I have two units. I'm building a 10-unit building, and if I give two units to low-income housing, they'll approve my funding, or they'll approve my permits. So then I build it. Well, what these guys are doing is they're doing that, and then they never rent the low-income units. And here's why. Low-income units in Los Angeles, depending on the area, and a lot of it's based on your income, so they run typically between $800 and $1,400 a month for low-income housing. Okay, they got a racket going where they charge a fee to apply, an application fee. That's how, hey, we know you're serious about really applying here, and that you know you're confident that your credit will be okay, and that we can get you in here with no problems. So it's a $65 fee. Okay, fine. $65. 20 of those a month, you're now making the ballpark of what the rent is. And you never have to rent or have to have the hassle of a low-income tenant. Now you're like, that's awful, horrible, snobby of you to not want a low-income tenant. Well, low-income tenants come with problems, typically. So these guys are getting a workaround by putting the low-income units in, never renting them out, and collecting nonstop fees for people applying for those units that they never rent out. And they end up oftentimes, because they're so desirable in a really desirable neighborhood, making more money not renting a low-income unit than they do renting a low-income unit. And there's no headache, because you just, oh, paperwork, here you go, fill this out, $65, thank you. That's the truth. I'm going to look it up. But there's people doing that, so something to think about. It is a shady, shady world. The government is shady. The people are shady. Everyone's shady. And no one can trust no one, it seems. But anyway, the public outcry after that SB 549 passed this week was so extreme that they have, quote, paused the plans for that. It's passed. My guess is they're not going to do that until, because there's going to be lots in the Palisades for years to come. They'll wait a year or two, and then they'll start buying up some lots and doing it because it's already approved. Remember, it already got approved, but they're not going to enact it now. It's being paused because there was public outcry. Also, know that, let's be honest, all of the politicians here and in Sacramento are Democrats. It is a super blue state, and the Palisades is a super blue, super Democrat town. And a lot of funding to those politicians statewide, local and statewide, comes from that neighborhood. And when they found out they were going to put high-rise, low-income apartments in their neighborhood, suddenly they weren't interested in being good contributing Democrats anymore. I can tell you, my neighbors are pissed. I've talked to a lot of them. They are mad, mad, mad at the leadership of the city and the state. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm happy a small victory. You know, I'll take this one. We got to take a win when you can take a win. Hopefully they keep it off for a long time. All right, you guys go on. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Be healthy. Get your workout on. Don't blow your diet too bad. And I will talk to you again Monday with a brand new episode of Fat to Fit or Else.